Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 to 8 and a bit of verse 11. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. For he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Amen. Let's pray for Faith. Lord, we thank you for the word you've given Faith for us this morning, and I pray that she may deliver it to us, Lord, with real clarity and with everything in her heart that you've given her to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. That sounded like a really serious reading, but then everything in the Word of God is serious, isn't it? It all has something to say to us. And I've been reflecting a bit on time. Now, this time of year, we never have enough time, do we? Well, some of us don't anyway. We're chasing around, trying to get everything done before Christmas and all these things are expectations, especially if, like me, you're the mother of a family and you have all sorts of things to do. But time can be very elusive. But I'm fascinated by the fact that God created time, or he put it into the earth. Maybe it was kind of part of him and he put it into the earth. But God is in time. He comes into time. He does things in time. And I love that concept that God knows the time, and he knows the time and the seasons. So if you feel at the moment, oh, I haven't got time to do that, I haven't got time to do that, let's just pause a moment and say, Lord, we want time to do what we should do. We want time to say what we should say. We want time to do those things which he has in his heart. So we're thinking about time a little bit this morning. Okay, and the verse that the Lord gave me for it was Galatians 4 and verse 4, which says, if it comes up on the screen, thank you. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. It goes on, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. That means he was born as a Jew. So God sent his son to be born of a woman, to be born of a Jew, that he might bring redemption to God's people and to the nations of the earth. So here we have God sent his son in the fullness of time. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I found myself thinking about it. What does it mean that it was the fullness of the time? Why did God send Jesus at that moment in history? Have you ever wondered? I was thinking about it. Why did you send it then, Lord? What were the circumstances? Now, I think if some of us, or maybe if I was planning the coming to earth of the Son of God, I might think the time to do it when there's absolute chaos everywhere, and then suddenly the Savior appears. And actually, that will be true when Jesus returns. But his first coming as a vulnerable little baby, it wasn't like that. He came, as we'll see in the next slide, the fullness of the time included peaceful government, first of all. We're told that it was in the time of Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus was the first overall Roman emperor. And he reigned for 41 years, which is pretty good for any ruler, and especially because Rome had been very disturbed until he came to the throne. And then his kingdom extended, and for 41 years he had a peaceful reign. They enforced the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, everywhere where they were ruling. He didn't try to extend his territories. He wanted to rule well, and he wanted to create a good environment for the people. So he built roads. As you know, there were roads everywhere built at that time, and beautiful buildings. And it was a time of peace. And it was halfway through his reign that God sent Jesus. And I think it's interesting that God chose an environment that was peaceful overall. Of course, there were lots of little scraps and difficulties, but it wasn't a time of World War III or anything like that. It was a time of peace in the Roman Empire. And of course, Judea was under the Roman Empire. He also sent Jesus at a time when religion was apostate. In other words, the Jewish religion had become increasingly not what God intended it to be. He intended it to be a reflection of his son when his son would come. He intended it to prepare the way for Jesus. But not only had it become apostate, but we also had Herod on the throne. And Herod was not even a Jew. He came from another nation, but he was very ambitious. And because he managed to get on well with the Romans, and they installed him as, first of all, a tetrarch of Galilee, and then he managed to get them to call him king. So he became King of the Jews. Now, we know that was a name that was given to Jesus himself, wasn't it? At least on his cross. And Jesus is the only king we have. But Herod took that name, and he began to be increasingly ambitious, arrogant. He was apparently a charming, good-looking man, some historian tells us, and so he got his way done a lot of the time. But, as we know, he was hugely threatened when he heard that a baby had been born. Even though that baby was so poor, he heard that he was called king. And Herod became hugely threatened. So although the overall Roman Empire was peaceful, and that was actually helpful in many ways, it meant that Joseph and Mary could travel down to Bethlehem because the roads would have been reasonably good. There were roads being built everywhere. Caesar used his armies to build the roads everywhere they were, his soldiers, because they weren't needed to fight wars so much, so they were doing lots of constructive things. And so there was a road for Mary and Joseph to travel down. But also the fact that they went to Bethlehem, if you remember, because the Emperor Caesar decided that he would have a tax. He would register everybody, have a census, so that he could then tax everybody in order to pay for all these buildings and roads. So there was Caesar Augustus, who actually came. He created a peaceful environment and lots of helpful things. And Herod was the antagonist. Herod was totally against Jesus. So God wasn't concerned about that, because Jesus came, didn't he, to overturn religion that was up the creek, that had denied God, that was lacking in love and grace and power and goodness. So he came to bring a different spirit in Jesus. And therefore, perhaps that's why it was at that time God decided to send his son. But there's a third thing which was important. I know Roger feels that this was a major reason that God delayed. Here it is. He was looking for a godly young woman to carry his son, because God was going to be born of a woman, born through the womb of a woman. And so God was looking for someone who really was living close to him, a spiritual person, a godly person. And he found it in Mary of Nazareth. So a godly young woman was there. Maybe God was looking for these environments to come together. And Mary was the godly woman who said, "Let it be to me according to your word. Behold, I'm your servant, Lord." She was totally close to God, and that's why God entrusted her with his son to raise him to adulthood. Of course, Joseph as well, who was so key to the story, who became Jesus' foster father. He looked after Jesus till he came to manhood. So we had those. But I've also added another man, and that was Simeon, a godly older man, because Simeon was looking. Simeon had a sense in his heart that God was going to send the answer to the needs of the world. He was going to bring salvation, and so he's looking for it all the time. And he asked God that he shouldn't die until he saw the beginnings of that salvation for God's people. And so we know that Simeon came into the temple when Jesus was a baby brought by his parents. And as soon as he saw him, he knew this was God's Savior. And you have that beautiful song of Simeon, or the prayer, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Wonderful, isn't it? You know, there are people, I can remember when I was about 10 or 11, I remember in the church that we were part of, I remember a godly older man then. He was, I don't know, maybe late 70s, maybe early 80s. But I remember him saying to me one day, you know, I don't know if he was right about this, but he said, Faith, you know, you are going to see Jesus come in your generation. He said, sadly, I won't. I know that I'm going to the Lord, but I believe your generation will. Now, I have no idea whether he's right, because, you know, I'm pushing towards his age now. Not quite. But who knows? But the point is, what he was trying to say is, I'm looking for the salvation of the Lord. So it had an impact on me as a child, even though I didn't fully understand it. What he meant was the return of Jesus Christ to the earth will come. So let's see the next slide. Can we read the times? Now, I don't mean that paper you buy in the newsagent that's got umpteen bits that all fall out of it if you pick it up. I mean, Jesus talked about reading the times. It was a challenge to us. We actually have it also in the Old Testament, Chronicles, I think it is, where it talks about those who read the times. But it means those who understand what's happening around them in our culture, in our society, in our world. Sometimes we live in a little tiny bubble, and at this time of year it's easy to do that, isn't it? Because it's all about the tree and the presents and the mince pies and the turkey and, you know, and all the family. And it's so easy to close our eyes to what's happening in the wider world. But we know there are drastic things happening in the wider world, don't we? We know that we could be, I'm not saying we will be, I'm not prophesying here, but we could be on the edge of a sort of nuclear exchange between North Korea and the United States if those two leaders don't calm down a little bit. And we also know that there's a volcano in Hawaii that looks like it's about to erupt, a massive one. And there are lots of things going on in the world. Nations stirred up, terrorism increasing. And sometimes we don't ask God, God, what's happening in our day? And how should we pray? How should we respond? Because we can respond in a right way to what is happening in our world. We should pray. We should believe God. We should listen to him. That's what we seek to do in prayer community. So come and join us if you would like to. And we want to listen to God, especially in the new year, to hear, Lord, what are you saying for 2018? We want to read the times. As in Matthew 16, verse 3, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, come on, guys. He probably didn't say that. He probably said, you hypocrites. But I'm saying, come on, guys. You know how to read the sky and say, oh, it's red sky tonight, it's going to be fine tomorrow. But you don't know how to read the times, he said. Because they were asking him to prove he was the Son of God, to show a sign. He was the Son of God. He had come. And some people instantly recognized it and worshipped him, like Simeon, even when he was a baby. And others, they're just constantly, they can't see what's before their face. And I'm so aware, it's so easy for us, isn't it, not to be aware of what's happening around us, spiritually what's happening. So we want to be those who are going to be spiritually aware of the times that we're living in and being together in understanding what God is saying and doing. So, what is the time now? I don't mean a clock. We don't have a clock in here. It's very useful at times and very unuseful at other times, but I'm all right. I've got a watch. What is the time now? Okay, now, we had, I had an uncle years ago who had a guy he knew who'd had his clock face changed. So he'd removed the hands and he wrote that now. So if you want to know what the time was and you turned, the time is now. But because he was a believer in Jesus and he wanted people to know that it's now that's the important time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. He says, God has heard you in an acceptable time. Now is the time, the accepted time. What he's saying is, now is the time to seek the Lord. Now is the time to hear what he's saying. And so that now is so important. I want you to imagine we've got a clock here in the Bonhoeffer that simply says now. I mean, it would be dismaying at first when we live our lives by the clock, wouldn't it? But spiritually, it had an impact, just as my uncle's friend had an impact, because people, why have you got that clock? It was a nice one too. And saying now, because it's a reminder that there are some things we can only really do at this moment now. If we leave it and it goes into the past, the opportunity may not be there again. And the presence of God may not be there at that time in the same way. Let's look at the ways in which we should be thinking about now is the time. Now is the time to do what? Okay, let's have the first thing, right? To seek the Lord, okay? That's the first thing. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians. Now is the time to seek the Lord, to make sure we really know him, to make sure we're saved. We talk about being saved, but you know, it's so easy even to come to church or to grow up in a Christian home and never really know, I know you, Lord. I know you've cleansed me from sins and you've accepted me as your child forever. Now is the time to seek the Lord. Now is the time to ask him to come into your life. I think it was it Hudson Taylor, whose parents, I think one of them came to the Lord on Christmas Eve. So it's a good time. Now is a good time. If we've never sought the Lord, if we've never reached out to him, now is a good time to do it and to make that response. We'll do that in a minute. But also, now is the time to forgive others. You know, sometimes at Christmas time as well, sometimes there have been family rifts and pressures, haven't there? And they can come to the surface at Christmas time. But now is the time to forgive and to release others who've hurt us or done evil towards us or said horrible things. Let's release forgiveness, because Jesus came in that vulnerable way. He was just a baby in a manger. And therefore, he's saying to us, let yourself be vulnerable and release forgiveness to those who need your forgiveness now. Let's release that. The story is told of the Maria von Trapp. She told her story that she was, if you know the Sound of Music film, she was the person featured there. And she married Baron von Trapp, but the marriage was very difficult at first for lots of reasons. And she had lots of bitterness in her heart. She regretted she'd married him within a few months. And she said she came along on Christmas morning with him and his children to the service. And she was still feeling very angry with everybody. And she said, but they all went up and just, you know, looked at the little manger, the kind of a representation of the baby in the manger. She went up to there and she looked at this. It was really just a doll lying in a manger with straw around it. But she said she looked at it and suddenly she thought, that's what God did for me. God became so small and so vulnerable. He was just so vulnerable to being hit around by everybody. And he came like that. And she said somehow God touched her heart and she repented of her pride. That's what it was that had prevented her from building this relationship. And she asked the Lord to just come in her heart and give her a new heart and a new humility. And that relationship started to build from that day forward. They became the family that sang, if you remember, escaped from the Nazis amazingly during the war, and they sang their way to the West. But she was somebody who had to discover how to forgive and how to move on, which is the next thing. Sometimes we have to move on in the decisions we make. There are some things you can't go back to. There are some people that you can't even say to them you forgive them. In any case, it's only relevant if the person is wanting to receive it, although it can make an impact even if you're not. We had a lovely guy in the fellowship, most of you remember Terence, who died 2 years ago now. And he told us one day how he'd been brought up in an orphanage in Ireland, and he had been horribly abused by one of the priests who had been in leading the orphanage, and he had a huge bitterness against his man, which he constantly struggled with. But he felt that God helped him in his own heart among us to forgive him, this man. And then, in the most amazing way, he was in London, he was walking in London somewhere, and to his absolute amazement, he saw this man. This was many years after he had been in this orphanage, because Terence was about 50 when he died, but he saw this man, and he checked, and he thought, it is him. And so he went up to him and said, do you remember me? I was in the orphanage. And the guy said, oh yeah, I think I do. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that I forgive you. And he said, this man was absolutely, didn't know what to say. He was just, he said, why are you saying this to me? And Terence said, I want you to know that Jesus has forgiven me and he wants me to forgive you, so I'm forgiving you. And he said the man was so overcome, he didn't know what to say or do. He just stood there completely, and Terence said, that's all I wanted to say, and he went. But it gave him a release as well. So to move on, it helped him to move on in all his relationships as well. So we maybe need to move on. And now is the time to live for his kingdom. I think that's so important at this time. Let's remind ourselves of the story of Queen Esther in the Bible. And Esther, they didn't have the choice, but she was made queen. And the story is that she, of course, was a Jew, and the Jews were going to be persecuted by the king. And Esther's cousin Mordecai was asking her, intervene, do something, because you are the only one who could possibly intervene in this situation. You are the only one who's got the right, the status, and the love of the king to be able to say something here. It's a long story, I won't go into it all. But one point Mordecai says to her, who knows if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I think that's such an important verse, we can have that up. Who knows if you've come to the kingdom, if you've come for such a time as this? I wonder if every one of us needs to hear that over our own lives. Who knows whether you are alive today, whether you were born however many years ago you were born, whether you came at that time for such a time as this? Who knows whether you are here in this place at this time for such a time as this? Who knows whether when you go to work or move around your daily life and you encounter people, maybe there are difficulties or tragedies, but you've come for such a time as this. You have a purpose to your life. Just as Esther did, God had got her into that position for the time. I believe in some people, even here, may get into places where their influence is great. Some of us may not, but we only live one life, don't we? We only have one life to live. So we need to know that this life we've come to live is for a time like this, in our nation, in our neighborhood, in our street, in our families. We have come for such a time as this. And I believe unless we have that sense of destiny over our lives, of meaning, of purpose, then we just idle away the time, don't we? We just, you know, eat and drink and watch telly or whatever, go on the internet, and yeah. And we need to know that we're here for a time as this, and you are too, I know that. Paul, bless you. Bless you. We need to find what God is saying to us and fulfill it in our lives, don't we? That's what the Lord is saying. Who knows if you... Well, God knows, of course, but Mordecai said it to Esther herself. Who knows, Esther, whether you've come at this point in time into this place that you occupy for such a time as this? And that was the word that stirred her to do something for God. She risked her own life, but she was totally effective in turning back the machinations of those who hated the people of God and wanted to kill them. She was very influential, very inspirational. So we need to know that in our lives. Let's look at here it is. Okay, good. I had asked Debbie to read not only Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born, time to die, time to laugh, time to weep, time to plant, time to uproot. There is a time for everything, isn't there? Some of you who are gardeners probably look around your garden and think, now is it time to do this, to prune this, to do that? I don't. I do it in a very slap-happy fashion, you know. But anyway, fortunately, most of the stuff survives. But it's very kind to me, you see. I believe in speaking to them. No, I don't really. But anyway, I am wacky, but not quite that wacky. Right. Okay, but God made everything. I love this verse. I love this verse. It's a beautiful verse. God made everything beautiful in its time. And we can see the beauty of the time, can't we? Now, I'm going to do something which you may find embarrassing, but just turn around and look at the people around you for a minute. God has made everything beautiful in its time. That's the person next to you. That's the relationships we have. That's the children who are in the back hall. That's our fellowship, our friendship together. He has made everything and everyone beautiful in their time. We have something beautiful to share because God is in our hearts. He's put eternity in our hearts. So time is important. That's why we love the beautiful times. But also we have eternity in our hearts. And that's beauty forever. That's the only place where beauty, truth and goodness are going to endure forever. And that's what we are coming to. So this morning I want us just to pause now before we finish and to ask the Lord, well, what are you saying to me about time? Is there something I should be doing with my time now? I don't just mean on Christmas Eve. I mean in these coming weeks. Is there something I should be doing? Is there some move I need to make? Not necessarily geographical, but it could be. But that kind of move in our own lives, in our jobs, in what we're doing for God. Is there some prayer I need to be praying that I've not been listening to? Is there something I should be responding to? Is there something that I haven't given place to God in my heart? Is there something in my life that I haven't given to Him? Let's ask Him to help us to be aware of His time, His timing, and let us move with the Lord and live for His kingdom. Let's just pause in silence and then I'll pray. Lord, I pray that most of all we may hear your voice now. That, Lord, we may have ears that are open to hear you now. Lord, we pray that we may be able to respond to you and your leading and your direction now. And most of all, we pray you'll fill our hearts with your love, with your grace, with your wisdom and your power now. In Jesus' name. Amen.